Mr. Hoke.
May it please the court, I'm here today on appeal from a workers' compensation case. It's the appellant's contention that the defendant's counterclaim should have been dismissed. Appellant originally filed a petition in the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Court. Shortly thereafter, appellant dismissed his petition and filed in Iowa. Iowa did say that they have jurisdiction over the matter. Prior to the dismissal of the petition, Tyson, the appellee, filed an answer and a counterclaim. Appellant asserts that when he dismissed his petition, the counterclaim of the appellee did not survive that.
Counsel, Section 48-173 allows either party to file a petition, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So I assume you'd agree that even if the Workers' Compensation Court had dismissed the counterclaim when it dismissed the petition, Tyson could have turned right around and filed a petition itself raising the same issues?
They could have done that. Yes, that is correct.
So what difference does it make if the employer does that in a petition or in what the employer has termed a counterclaim?
Well, I think that the big key here is that when appellant filed the case in Iowa, appellee tried to say that Iowa did not have jurisdiction. Iowa said, we do have jurisdiction. Okay. The big thing here is it's a shoulder injury. In Nebraska, shoulder injury is a scheduled member. In Iowa, it's a body as a whole injury. Appellee does not want this case in Iowa. They want it in Nebraska. Appellant wanted to seek benefits in Iowa, which he has the right to do. He dismissed his petition in Nebraska, and we point to a case directly on point with the same defendant, Kinda Baker v. Tyson Fresh Meats. I cited to it in my brief. In that case, the plaintiff's petition was dismissed.
That was a workers' compensation case.
Yes, it was a workers' compensation case. That petition, it was dismissed by the court, but the petition was dismissed. The defendant had a motion for sanctions pending that, based on within their counterclaim. The court held that Judge Hoffer ruled that when the petition was dismissed by the court, the counterclaim did not survive it.
That case wasn't appealed, was it?
I don't believe so.
So the case you're talking about is the decision of the workers' compensation
Of the workers' compensation.
Thank you.
Correct. Counsel for appellee pointed to another case where a counterclaim was allowed. I believe it's Ian Strait, and that was also versus Tyson, and I've cited to that in my brief as well. In that case, Judge High ruled that the counterclaim, the plaintiff filed a petition or a motion to dismiss the counterclaim. Judge High ruled that the counterclaim could sustain. The difference is the petition was never dismissed in the Ian Strait case. The hearing was held on that. In that case, the hearing was held on the plaintiff's petition and the defendant's answer and counterclaim. So two completely different scenarios.
Was Judge High's decision appealed by anybody in that case?
I don't believe so. Judge High ultimately dismissed the petition, finding that the claimant didn't meet his burden of proof to prove an injury. And I'm not sure if there's an appeal. I don't believe so, though.
So to follow up on Judge Stacy's question, suppose in this case, instead of filing a counterclaim, the employer had filed a separate petition dealing with the same subject matter in the Nebraska Workers' Compensation Court. The dismissal of the employee's petition would not have dismissed the employer's petition, would it?
No, it would not have. But the employer, they didn't file a petition.
What's the difference in terms of substance between the employer's separate petition with a different docket number and a counterclaim in the same docket number?
I don't believe there would be any difference in substance. The thing is, the employer is saying is they have the right to file the petition in Nebraska to determine these issues of whether or not an injury occurred on that date. Well, there's a petition pending in Iowa to determine those issues.
Well, there wasn't when the case was filed, was there?
Yes, there was. The petition in Iowa was filed within a couple of weeks, maybe. It was in the same short time period. I can't tell you exact dates. But the petition in Iowa was filed very shortly after plaintiff dismissed his petition in Nebraska.
Well, but what I was getting at, my question was, the counterclaim was already on file in Nebraska before the Iowa proceeding commenced.
That is correct. The counterclaim was filed, petition was dismissed, and then petition filed in Iowa.
But if the plaintiff is not seeking any relief in the district, in the workers' compensation court in Nebraska, what is left for the workers' comp court to decide if the worker is not seeking any relief?
Well, that's another argument that the appellee makes, is that appellant...
I thought I was making an argument for you.
Well, that's what we're saying there. There was nothing there. The burden was still placed on the appellant to prove an injury occurred when he didn't allege an injury occurred in Nebraska. And the appellee said, well, you still participated in a full-blown trial. Well, what other option did we have?
What was the nature of the counterclaim? Were they seeking reimbursement for medical expenses that they had?
No, they were just saying that an injury didn't occur, that it was a prior injury.
Is that a counterclaim?
In their counterclaim.
Is that a counterclaim?
No, I don't believe so.
Did they also ask for a credit in the counterclaim?
I'm not sure if they did or not.
Did they ask for a credit in the answer? I'm sorry.
In the answer? I don't think so. I don't believe so.
If they did, what difference does it make?
I don't think it makes any difference, because the plaintiff isn't alleging an injury occurred in the Nebraska jurisdiction. They're alleging it. The petition's filed in Iowa.
What's the breadth of the counterclaim as filed in Nebraska?
There's an injury didn't occur. Mm-hmm. The plaintiff, can't prove causation. I mean, it's basically the same.
What kind of relief did the counterclaim seek? Did
it for the
seek?
Court to find that an injury did not occur.
Is there any provision for attorney fees?
I don't think so.
As an employer?
I don't think an employee can get attorney's fees under the work comp court, or a defendant can get attorney's fees in the work comp court. And so the whole thing of everything that happened at the trial, I mean, the appellant had no choice but to participate. We first tried to get the matter stayed pending the resolution of Iowa. And Judge Frederick wouldn't stay it. He said, we're proceeding on the counterclaim. At the trial, Appley presented his case. They presented their case first, which typically it would be the appellant or the plaintiff.
How did that occur? Did you walk in? The judge said to you, you have the burden? I mean, did you know beforehand that you were going to have the burden?
We didn't. Well, we knew that at the start of the trial. Well, that we didn't think so, because we weren't going first. And we never, I mean, how do we didn't, we don't think it's right that the appellant has the burden to prove that an injury occurred when he didn't allege an injury occurred. The defendant, the appellee, is alleging that no injury occurred. They should have the burden to prove that no injury occurred, rather than placing the burden on the appellant to prove that it did occur when we didn't allege that it occurred. There is no petition on file alleging
it. Employer goes first under these circumstances?
Yes.
Because they're the one who wants to run the show,
correct.
Right? Okay, and they come in and say, hi, I'm here to tell you there's no injury.
Yeah, correct.
And everybody else goes, so why are you here?
Because we... that's our question.
We don't believe that
it should have proceeded at that
Did it get converted to something like a declaratory judgment? Would that be permitted by workers' comp rules?
I don't believe it would be.
Because that's what they need to proceed, don't they?
Yeah.
They go first, they have the burden, is this correct?
That,
they're going to come in there and say there's no injury. And everybody's going to say, why are we here?
And exactly.
Then what do you make of the statute in the workers' compensation court statutes that permits an employer to file a petition? What does that do?
Well, they have that right to do that. I don't believe it's used all that often. The plaintiff is, if you're alleging an injury happened, you're going to file a petition. If the employer's not going to deny it, the employee's going to file a petition.
But let's suppose there's some event that occurs and an employee has made an allegation that there's a work-related injury, but an employer believes there isn't. And the employer decides to be proactive to litigate this and goes in and files a petition saying there's been allegations, but there was no work-related injury. Wouldn't they then, could they do that? And if so, do they then have the burden of proving exactly that?
I believe they do, Your Honor. If they file the petition saying that no injury occurred, they have to have the burden to prove that.
So your real complaint here is not that they were allowed to proceed, but the burden was placed on you.
Yeah, well, it's both, actually. We don't think it should have proceeded at all, but then since it did proceed, we should not have had the burden to prove that an injury did happen when we didn't allege that an injury happened.
But you agree their counterclaim was on file before your dismissal and before the Iowa proceeding was commenced.
That is correct.
In your experience, when an employer initiates a complaint, a petition, what is customarily the substance of it?
To tell you the truth, Your Honor, I cannot answer that because, like I said before, I do not believe that happens all that often.
Well, it's all fact-specific. It depends on what the employer wants the court to determine.
Would they come in after the passage of time in an old case and commence a petition to try and get money back?
I don't think so.
Would they revive an old number?
When I used to represent defendants, I would never urge my client to file a petition. If the employee is not going to file a petition, let the statute run.
I thought the substance of the counterclaim was they wanted credit for any pre-existing claims that had been made based upon a pre-existing injury and compensation being paid to the employee for those pre-existing injuries.
Well, I don't know that they were seeking a credit like they wanted the plaintiff to pay him back or anything.
They requested a credit for any workers' compensation benefits paid to on or behalf of the plaintiff. Isn't that what they're requesting in the counterclaim?
Yeah, I suppose that's not what, the court just said there was no injury, there's no benefits owed. I don't believe a work comp judge is ever going to say, you've got to pay back the employer the benefits that they've paid.
That's not what they asked.
If
we paid on this injury before, we're entitled to credit for that we paid before based on the pre-existing injury. In other words, if we've paid benefits before, we want a credit for that.
Sure.
That's the substance of their counterclaim.
And the court's order here didn't address the credit at all, did it?
No, it just said that there was the plaintiff did not meet his burden, and no benefits are owed, and case dismissed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll hear from the appellee. Is it Mr.
Schauer?
Mr. Schauer. Good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, opposing counsel. My name is Josh Schauer. I'm here on behalf of appellee Tyson Fresh Meats, Inc. This is certainly an interesting and different workers' compensation case. It's fun to be here on this, addressing some of the questions. I would first note that Nebraska has jurisdiction here. There's some talk of Iowa injury, Nebraska injury. There's no question in the transcript, but that the alleged accident and injury occurred at a plant in Nebraska. It's a Nebraska case. What happens a lot of times was an employee file a case. I think maybe indicated in the Kenda Baker case or maybe even by the court here. What happens is the case will work its way through the court. It'll get ready for trial. Sometimes we've had a situation where the trial has occurred and then the plaintiff or employee dismisses his case. That's it. So we started to file these counterclaims to have that not be the case, or at least have that be our option on whether it would be decided or dismissed at some later date. And we do that under the authority 48.173. It says either party in interest, which the employer is, we had an alleged accident occurred in Nebraska. No question about that. I don't think there's any dispute about that. And we said, all right, well, if you want to file suit, let's do this. Let's take this to court and see what happens. We have a potentially serious injury here. And so we filed a counterclaim and said, look, two things. One, we want you to determine that there was no accident injury. We have an allegation of a work-related accident and injury. We, under 48.173, which states that either party interests without cost, may file with the compensation court a petition. This is essentially what our counterclaim is, and we want you, Workers' Compensation Court, to determine that there was no work-related accident or injury caused by his work at Tyson.
Well, is your counterclaim the same as a petition?
It's a tie.
Go ahead.
It was the same question.
Yeah, it was pretty similar. That was impressive. I would say that, you know, it is our counterclaim is to say, look, under 48173, we want you to determine our rights and liabilities, which is what we read 48173 to say.
Well, does it say that?
It says that either party in interest can file.
This is a statutory court, is it not?
Right.
Okay, and the statute says you can file a petition.
Yes.
Did you file a petition?
We filed a counterclaim, which we would assert is essentially the same as a petition. Now, counterclaim is not a separate pleading. It's part of the answer.
Counsel, if your counterclaim is the same as a petition, why don't you have the burden of going forward?
Things there, I would say that it's not necessarily the same as a petition. It's our way to get these things to the court. But as far as going forward, I would say that we have the burden potentially to put on evidence to say, look, we can show, I did put on evidence from a Dr. Ryan Meese and a Dr. Gamble that said there was no work-related accident and injury sustained by the appellant. So I did go first. At that point then, if as I see things, there's a couple options there. First, I can put on no evidence and say, hey, I'm here. I say that it's his burden. I put on no evidence. I think there's a risk. But at that point where the trial court is going to say, look, I'm not going to dismiss or enter an order adverse to this employee if you're not putting on any evidence. So that's a risk, too.
Where's the legal authority that the non-moving party has the burden going forward?
Well, under Nebraska workers' compensation law, it's always been stated that the person seeking benefits...
Aren't you seeking the basically benefit in the fact of you want credit?
I'm not seeking benefits. I'm seeking a determination from the court. I'm not the one seeking benefits. I'm saying that there are no benefits.
Well, the other side isn't seeking anything at that point in the proceeding, are they?
Well, maybe. But again, it was, I would state that the appellant here clearly was, in that they put on evidence seeking $30,000 in TTD benefits in the record. They asked for reimbursement of medical expenses, vocational rehabilitation, attorney's fees.
This is the trial on your counterclaim.
We did go first, and again, I put on evidence as stated in the brief from Dr. Meese and Dr. Gamble to the effect that there was no work-related accident or injury.
Are you saying the burden was on you because you went first? Or?
No, I'm not saying the burden is on me. I'm saying that when this is brought, there are a couple of different ways this can go. I can put on no evidence, at which case I take the risk that there's not going to be a dismissal, certainly not a dismissal with prejudice. I don't know what's
going
to occur there.
In other words, you would have filed a counterclaim, which has now morphed into a petition, and then you put on no evidence.
Correct, which is a possibility. You say, look.
And then the other side would, what, move to dismiss because you didn't show anything?
He's got a couple of issues there. There's no question that here the appellant said, I sustained a work-related accident and injury. He put that into evidence first. There's no question. There's no dispute on the record.
But then he dismissed that.
Right. And we, in our counterclaim, state that the appellant claims an accident and injury for which he's claiming workers' compensation benefits. That was not denied. There was no answer. There was nothing entered to state any disagreement with our assertion that the appellant was claiming an accident and injury in Nebraska for which he's entitled to benefits. No dispute.
Well, let me back up because you hinted at something's driving this procedure. What's going on?
Well, there's a couple of things. One was to give the defendant or employer here, some say on whether a case is dismissed or not.
What does the statute say about that, though? Doesn't the statute give the plaintiff the explicit right to dismiss the case, even if there's still a dispute?
Yep, and that was done here. He moved for it. He asked for it. He got it. So that was dismissed. But at the same time, as you noted earlier, that very same day, under 48173, that very same day, Tyson could come in and file their own petition and then bring those things back in.
But you didn't do that. Instead, what you did was try to file a counterclaim that bootstrapped in a petition.
Well, it is, again, my assertion would be that the counterclaim is part of an answer. We can file an answer, and an answer includes a counterclaim. It's not a separate proceeding under the rules of civil procedure, which are required be utilized in all civil proceedings. You know, there's the ability to file.
But counsel, in every other civil proceeding, if you file a counterclaim, you have the burden going forward, right? Every other place that you go seek justice, that's what happens other than this proceeding, right?
And here's what I would say. I would get to that so that I could file that. I filed a petition, and again, I either do nothing and take the chance that if you want my doing nothing, I say, if you want benefits, I'm bringing this issue to the court under 48173, part of a petition or counterclaim, however you want to caption it. I'm saying that there's nothing there. If you, then as the plaintiff, if you want to claim benefits, that then is your opportunity to step in. So I can either do nothing, or I can do what I did here, where I put in evidence from two doctors to say there was no accident or injury caused by work. Then at that point, if the employee or plaintiff wants
to... Doesn't your burden argument destroy your argument that this is the same as a petition?
No, because of causation is the issue here. Whether you want benefits, you're still going to have to prove causation. And I think that's different. I'm not trying to get at whether this was a neck versus a shoulder and use that in Iowa. One other thing, I'm saying, look, I want you, court, under 48173 here via a counterclaim to determine there was no causation. And I did here, the record shows in this matter, I did put on evidence from at least two doctors to show there was no causation. And then, at that point, if the plaintiff wants benefits, he wants benefits of the workers' comp, then at that point he's got to come in and show, I think, he's entitled to benefits, or sit back and do nothing. And
is that customarily what goes on in workers' comp? Employers initiate petitions to have a declaration that there was no injury?
I can tell you that it does happen. How typical it is, I don't know. I've been involved in such a case, and that's part of what I think is at issue here, too, is the counterclaims. In those instances, again, clearly it can happen under 48173, where you can have the same thing, where an employer file suit, you know, we get into 8 months of discovery, they want to get subpoena powers, deposition power, things like that to really investigate a claim. You get 8 months, 9 months, 10 months down the road, and they say, ugh, not looking so good, and they dismiss it a week before trial, and the employee is sitting there going, hey, what happens here? I now have to either refile the petition or, you know, get, and then wait another 6-8 months to get this thing before the court. This is a mechanism, a safeguard that protects both employers and employees, plaintiffs and defendants. And I would note a recent Court of Appeals case, Yost versus DeVita Inc. at 23 NEB App 482, decided December 29, 2015, so after the briefing here, where that's largely what occurred, where we had the employer file a petition for modification. And
I think that goes back to my earlier question, that an employer might come in and call it a petition in it, even in an existing docket, because of the passage of time and want to fiddle around with benefits.
Maybe that's a petition for modification, which is a little bit different. But there, the plaintiff in this Yost case then filed a counterclaim. Their thinking was, look, employer, you're saying that I'm no longer entitled to benefits or that I've had a decrease in my incapacity. Rather than having to go through and try that issue, well, was there a decrease in capacity, go through 9, 10, 11, a year of litigation, and then have them say, nope, there was no decrease in capacity, when the plaintiff there wanted to say, look, not only was there not a decrease in my incapacity, I'm now permanently and totally disabled. There has been an increase in my incapacity. So they filed a counterclaim that was heard.
Isn't that different than a commencing a suit, is it not?
I understand that procedure completely, but that's not what you have here.
But if a counterclaim is allowed, it's allowed. And every, I mean, the argument, as I understand, is counterclaims are a no-go. If counterclaims are allowed, I think, you know, we did meet our counterclaim. We did allege credit. We did allege that we want the court to find there was no causation. We did prove it. And again, at which point the employee can say, look, I don't think you proved it, or if I want benefits, then the employee, the plaintiff has to come in.
I think his argument is saying that the rules permit counterclaims. However, this is an initial determination of injury, is it? Is it not?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
This is the first event in determining whether or not there was a compensable injury, right?
Well, it was. Yes, they filed their petition first. We filed the answer and counterclaim.
It's not a modification and an ongoing saga between the parties. This is the, is that right? This is the initial event, which is dismissed, and that you would like to say, so be that, we're going forward with our counterclaim, in simple terms.
Yes, okay. Similar to 25-603. If I may, on one point, if
Thank
we don't
you.
Allow this, then we can get into what's sort of been raised here, some absurd results where we have plaintiff files a case, and if the employer isn't allowed to file a counterclaim, he comes down maybe 6 weeks later, maybe 8 weeks later, and files a petition, and then maybe it gets assigned to a different judge, and then you've got different discovery deadlines, different trial deadlines, and instead of 50 interrogatories, you get 100 interrogatories, things like that.
You've got a solution there, though, don't you?
Such as moving to consolidate?
That seems the obvious one.
In which case, you know, then why not just allow it to begin with the counterclaim in the first place? That's sort of an absurd result to require that. Maybe I don't want to do that, but why make us go through that hoop when it's there, when you can read it into the statute clearly that by the ability to file.
So you are asking us to read the ability to file a counterclaim into the statute.
I don't think you have to read in so many words, yes, but I think the statute, the case law is clear that a counterclaim is part of an answer, not a separate proceeding, and that, you know, since the, as a civil court, workers' comp is governed by the civil rules of procedure, and there's nothing, you know, that runs contrary to these rights, but yeah, basically.
If we were to conclude that the rules of civil proceedings have nothing to do with workers' compensation cases, that they are governed by the workers' compensation statutes and the rules of the workers' compensation court, does your argument go away, or do you still think you're entitled to file this as the equivalent of a petition under the workers' compensation statute?
I still think we're entitled, Your Honor, because I still assert that regardless of wherever you are, unless it explicitly says otherwise, counterclaim is part of an answer, and that if you read into some of these things, such as Rule 3A of the Workers' Compensation Court, talks about petition, answer, a motion, and other pleadings. There's some broadness there. And the very nature of 48.173, allowing either side to initiate a petition, gives us that ability.
Isn't that statute the key to your argument?
Yes, Your Honor. It really is. It's not too many of those in other states, and that allows us to support the assertion that counterclaim is essentially part
so
of the answer.
Under 48.173, the statute that lets you file a petition in your world here, and your argument is that should be read that you can file a counterclaim as the commencement of an action.
That it indicates that it doesn't. It's certainly not contrary to the Act. And since an employer can file a petition, it's not contrary to the Act to apply the rules of civil procedure that allows him to file.
This is a statutory court, is it not? Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on to the next case of the day, which is State versus Mohammed Abdul Qadir. Mr. Dornan, good morning to you. Let's give everybody a second to get in and out of the courtroom.